When was the last time you took a course covering evolution? I'm Casey Luskin with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture and the ID of the Future podcast. We have on the show with us today a wonderful guest. His name is Dr. Cornelius Hunter. He has a PhD in biophysics and computational biology from the University of Illinois. He's also a fellow of the Discovery Institute, and in fact, he has written a number of wonderful books on the topic of evolution and intelligent design, and he has a blog, darwinsgod.blogspot.com. It's spelled darwins-god.blogspot.com. And the reason we wanted to have Dr. Hunter on the show with us today is because he recently signed up to take an online course called Introduction to Genetics and Evolution, being taught by a biologist from Duke University named Dr. Mohammed Noor. And it was an online course being offered through Coursera, which is a website where anyone can basically sign up to take online courses, many of which are taught by credible faculty members. And Dr. Hunter, you signed up for this course. You stayed in it long enough to get through at least the basic evolution lecture. And we were really hoping that you could tell us about what you learned from the course and what you took from it, what some of your experiences were. So thank you, Dr. Hunter, for coming on the show with us today.
Well, thank you, Casey, for having me. I appreciate it. And yes, I did sign up for the course that Professor Noor offered through Coursera. He made a point to make it for non-specialists, opening it up, and that's good. The prerequisites were modest, and it's available on Coursera. His first lecture was on evolution, and in particular, the evidences for evolution and arguments for why it's true. He made the point repeatedly that it's true, and that's what's always interesting is when the evolutionists tell us why evolution is true, they're going to give us the best arguments. They're going to explain why they think all of the species arose spontaneously. So it's always interesting. And of course, Professor Noor is highly qualified to speak on the subject. He is the associate chair of biology at Duke University, one of our leading universities. So it's very, very telling, and I went through on my blog the details of his arguments, and they're very telling. I highly encourage folks to take a look at my entry because it shows why evolutionists think it is a fact and why the evolutionists think it's true. Professor Noor made a series of arguments. He made vague claims. He made logical fallacies. He made metaphysical claims in the guise of science. He presented us with some false history. He also gave us a naive falsificationism argument. But the thing that really stood out was over and over his false claims. He just simply misrepresented the science over and over.
Dr. Hunter, I know that you got your PhD from the University of Illinois, and myself went through a very science-focused program at UC San Diego and took about a dozen or so courses that directly covered evolution. So you and I have both sat through many of these sorts of your typical evolution course at the college level. Obviously, this was an undergraduate course. I know I took some graduate courses in evolution. I would imagine you probably took graduate courses as well that covered evolution in some way or another. So I'm sure that what the students are hearing in this course is sort of your typical undergraduate evolutionary biology class and the kinds of evidence which is usually going to be discussed in those courses. So I think you probably got a very representative sampling of the types of arguments that people are going to hear. And, you know, I remember from doing this in my own studies that it was sometimes very just bland, blasé, this is what evolutionary theory is. I'm looking at your blog and I see that he defined evolution as mere change through time. How did you feel about this definition of evolution that was used by Dr. Noor in the class?
Right, and there is some inconsistency there. So evolutionists, like Professor Noor, will obviously be thinking of evolution as the creation of all species, the origin of species, as Darwin put it in the title of his book. So clearly that's what they're thinking of, and that's what Professor Noor was presenting throughout his lecture, evidences and arguments for why all the fossils and all the species arose spontaneously. That is what the evolutionary claim is. But then in presenting why it's true, he refers to it as change over time. And that can be quite modest. So we can even be talking about simply color change in moths, in a population of moths. That obviously is not the same thing. That does not equate to the origin of species. So let's look at that example of this moth changing colors. He used that example from England in the 19th century. So you have a population of moths, some of them light-colored, some of them dark-colored. And because there was industrial pollution, the trees became darker. And so your light-colored moths became more exposed on these dark trees, and they became more apparent to the prey. And so birds were gobbling up these white-colored moths, and the population shifted to a predominantly dark-colored moth population. He actually used that as an example of why evolution is true. Of course, anyone knows that this is not an example of how evolution could come up with new designs. It's not creating anything new. You're simply shifting the population from a mixed light and dark, or maybe predominantly light, just to one that's now predominantly dark. You have the same thing with the very famous case of the finches on the Galapagos Islands that Darwin visited. In recent decades, researchers found after a drought that some of the plant population changed, and so seeds that were available that the finches fed on changed, became harder and more difficult to eat and fewer. And so only finches with a certain size and shape beak did okay, and many of the finches died off. Again, you had a shift in the population, particularly in terms of the beak size and shape. That doesn't help us get anywhere toward the origin of species, but evolutionists use those sorts of examples. So yes, this change over time, Professor Noor used that and used examples like the moths changing colors that suggest that evolutionists are lowering the bar for themselves. They're picking out, they're cherry-picking examples that sound perhaps impressive to someone who isn't a specialist or isn't thinking critically about the problem, but in fact tell us literally nothing about how evolution could have happened and about how evolution could have created the species.
And you have to kind of figure, Dr. Hunter, that if you're in a course that's being open to really anyone to take by a prominent biologist at a university like Duke, and it's supposedly going to teach you about evolution, that they're going to be trying to showcase some of the best lines of evidence supporting evolution. And yet, what do we see them talking about? The peppered moth, Darwin's famous Galapagos finches, these classic icons of evolution, which, as you very appropriately argued just now, they don't show large-scale evolution. They show very small-scale evolution. So surely Dr. Noor must have talked about some evidence which he thinks shows larger-scale evolution, or I suppose universal common ancestry. Was there anything more substantial that he talked about in the class beyond these sort of classical icons?
Yes, there was. He went through several other evidences. But again, each one was problematic. One he went to was the horse fossils, horse-like species in the fossil record. And we certainly do have many horse-like species in the fossil record. In fact, they're all over the map. He suggested that they are an example of gradual evolution. That's, of course, what Darwin predicted and what evolutionists like to see. But in fact, in recent decades, it's been recognized that the horse is not a good example of gradual evolution, but instead you have stasis, horse-like fossils not changing over periods in the fossil record, and then a new species appearing rapidly. So it's been argued that this is some sort of a different kind of evolutionary mechanism happening where you have long periods of no change and then all abrupt periods of change. That's not exactly what gradualism looks like. So Professor Noor was simply misrepresenting the science in that case. He also talked about how if evolution is true, we would expect that early life would be simple life. And that, of course, makes sense. Evolution has to start out simple and add complexity and add design as it goes along. But in fact, that's not the case. So in the past 50 years, we've increasingly been finding, because the species and the various designs in nature do not fit the expected common descent pattern very well, evolutionists have had to imagine that early life was in fact very complex, and the complexity must have happened early on, because we don't see a narrowing or a simplifying of complexity and designs as you go back in time. And so, in fact, one evolutionist said, the big deal was the creation of the amoeba, and getting to man was not a big deal. And so you get these kind of upside-down conclusions coming out of evolutionary theory, but they don't make it beyond the journal papers. When you get the popular presentations, such as this one by Professor Noor, those inconvenient details get lost, and he just makes broad, vague claims about, oh, well, then early life would be simple, and sure enough, it is. Well, no, it isn't.
Having taken these kinds of courses, you get really sort of the dumbed down, no offense to undergraduates, but undergraduate version of evolution, where any of the data that doesn't fit with the standard paradigm, whatever you're talking about, whether it's common descent, fossil record, the efficacy of the mutation selection mechanism, you don't learn about that data. You just learn what the basic paradigm is, and students are not taught to think critically about it in any way, shape, or form. Well, Dr. Hunter, I think we're running out of time for this first podcast, but I want to thank you for coming on and discussing the Duke Evolution course that you took. Stay tuned for more on ID the Future, where we'll hear again from Dr. Cornelius Hunter talking about the Duke University Online Evolution course, Introduction to Genetics and Evolution, and what he experienced while learning about evolution taking the course. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.